Good morning. I'd like to thank the choir for the songs that they brought. It brought back memories. Si ahamba kukenien kwenkos. I think it's Zulu. We are marching in the light of God. Are you marching in the light of God? Are you marching in the light of God? We are marching in the light of God. And in a time like this, that's what we need to be doing, marching in the light of God. Do you agree? If you agree, say amen. Amen. I like to hear amens. No, it's true. It energizes you, but you know what? The more you say amen, the better I preach. Just a secret. You know, there are a lot of holidays here in the United States. One of them I do stick my neck out for this coming Friday. And as I was thinking about it, we had our plan what we were going to do at home. We were going to just be upstairs and sing songs and have a lot of devotional. But someone came up with a neat idea just now, and Eldon mentioned this to me. And all of you that would like to come, you are welcome to come. Just a few things. Bring an instrument. We're going to be in the fellowship hall. We're going to be at 6 o'clock. We'll start with soups. Bring some soup, bread. And then we'll have just singing. So bring guitars, bring a ukulele. Bring whatever you have. We're going to be singing. We're going to be reading devotionals. I'll even put some things together, some very interesting things together in the PowerPoint presentations that you have never seen before. And so come out with your kids and family, and we'll be here from 6 to 9. We'll be worshiping the Lord and enjoying the Sabbath that the Lord has given us. If you think that the world, the economy of our nation is going down the tubes, say amen. If you think that the morality of our nation is going down the tubes, say amen. If you think that marriages are being broken up and all kids are in trouble and all this because Satan is doing all this, say amen. But if you think that the Lord is coming soon, say amen. And He is. He is coming soon. Whether we want to act like He is or not, He's coming. Remember that we played hide and seek, and what are the words at the end? Ready or not what? That's Jesus Christ. But He's giving us time to get ready. He's giving us time to get ready. And as we see that, I mean, the world is going to get worse. Do you agree? It is going to get worse. But the Bible says that man shall live by faith. And this morning I'm going to talk to you about faith. What kind of faith, though? What kind of faith? The title of this sermon is Who's in Control? Our nature is that we like to be in control. We like to be in control. Especially men. That's why we drive and the wife sits on the side. Because we're in control. There's a story, you know, the Mississippi has, it's a mighty river, and there big ships sail the Mississippi. And the story is told of a little boy that's sitting there by the banks of the Mississippi, just watching out. And this man starts looking at him because he don't know what the little boy was going to do. Was he going to, you know, jump in? Is he, what in the world is he doing? He's all there by himself. So he goes to him and he says, little boy, are you all right? And he says, yeah, I'm all right. So what are you doing here? And he looks, but
See that big ship over there?
I'm waiting for that big ship. And the adult just looks at him, you know, you want to get on that? He said, yeah, I'm going to get on that. You know, they do sell tickets so you could get on them, but you have to go to where it docks, and you have to go through all the paperwork, and sometimes it's a lot of money to get into one of those. And he says, no, I'm waiting here. I'm going to get on one of those. Are you sure? Yeah. Okay. So the man just, he was intrigued by this, and he just kind of left them alone. He stepped back and just watched. He was going to be there to console the little boy when he got disappointed that that big ship just went by him. And he wanted to be there just to make sure he was okay. And he waited, and that ship started getting closer and closer. And then all of a sudden, to his amazement, that ship, that big ship, started getting closer and closer to the bank. I mean, there's only a certain distance that they could get to. And he got closer and closer and closer. And to his amazement, the ship was slowing down. And all of a sudden, that ship just slows down, stops right where that little boy is. And then his eyes really got big when that big, humongous ramp just came down. Slowly started coming down, and it's really long, was able to reach to the bank. Nice and solid. And the little boy that's sitting there, he got up, rested himself, and started walking up the ramp. And that man is just... And the little boy knew that he was watching him, see? Halfway up the ramp, the little boy turns around. He can't wait any longer. He turns around and looks at him. He says, my daddy is the captain. He told me to wait here. Your daddy is the captain, and he has asked us to wait here. But he's coming back. He's coming back. This morning we will see three different situations that you and I, it is imperative. What did I say? What was that word I said? You know what that means? What? Extremely important. Yes. Extremely important. We're going to look at three situations that we must trust God. Okay? And sometimes... we think we trust God, but do we trust Him in situations like this? I want you to open your Bibles. Chapter 3 of Exodus. And we're not going to be reading the whole chapter. Maybe this could be something that you could do when you get home. But we find in Exodus a man, Moses. All right? By the way, you know, there are people in the world that will discredit the Bible at all costs. I was just reading yesterday, I was reading about this Jewish scholar that believes that when Moses was seeing the vision, that he was really high on... there's a little flower in that area that's very, makes you see things if you, well, misuse it. And they are proclaiming that Moses was really high when he received his call. Beware, beware. But the Bible says that Moses saw that burning bush and he started speaking with God. And you know what happened there, the call, what God asked him to do. And this is what God said, verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel out of Egypt. Wow. This was a mission. God is asking Moses to go to the strongest nation in the world and get the people out of there. And you know the story of how Moses got really afraid. He started saying, I can't speak. He started. He gives him three excuses why he cannot do this. And finally, and we should learn this, that we cannot fight against God. Finally, Moses just finally said, Lord, I will go. Was Moses afraid? Yes, he was. Listen to what Patriarchs and Prophets says, page 255. The divine command given to Moses. Have you ever received a divine command? Found himself distrustful, slow of speech, and timid. He was overwhelmed with a sense of his incapacity to be a mouthpiece for God to Israel. And I know some of us have found ourselves in that situation because God has asked you to go give that person a Bible study. And we freeze. And we start saying, Lord, I can't do that. Why? Well, I can't speak. I stutter when I start opening the Bible in front of somebody else. I don't know all the topics. I am shy. I don't like to be around people. We start giving the Lord all those neat excuses why we can't do this. But let me tell you something. When God calls, He will empower you. And that is exactly what happened. He was afraid. Why? Because he did not know what was going to happen. What was going to happen? I don't know. So here's the first situation where we need to trust God. We need to trust God in the unknown. You don't know what's going to happen. We have an idea of things that are going to take place. We have an idea. I hear people with their theories of what's going to happen when this nation, the economic crash, just comes about it. I hear people saying, well, these are the things that are going to happen. Yeah, but do we really know? And I think it's going to be worse than what we think it's going to be. And yet we don't know. We don't know. Moses did not know. But yet he decided to trust God even in the things that he did not know. And listen to this. Same page, 255, continuing on, it says, but having once accepted the work, he entered it upon with his whole heart, putting his trust in the Lord. What has God asked you to do? What has God called you to do? Or maybe what is God calling you to do? Is it scary? Is it frightening? Why? Because you don't know what's going to happen? That is okay. Because that's one of the reasons, one of the situations where we need to trust God completely. In the unknown. Moses did not know. But he went anyways. Situation number two. If you turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6. Here's a very interesting situation. And I'll read to you the mission that was given to this man. Chapter 6, verse 14. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. That's about 450 feet. Its width, 50 cubits. That's about 75 feet. And its height, 30 cubits. That's about 45 feet. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. It is a simple request. It is. It's like, you know, Lord asking you right now, you know, go to the to the middle of the Sahara Desert and start building this big boat for me. Why? Because it's going to get flooded. The Sahara Desert. I was going to ask, have you ever been there? But if you had ever been there, I don't think you'd be here. It was something that it was impossible. It was an impossibility. God was asking Noah to build something that had never been built before in a place that had never seen rain before. And I could probably guess that maybe Noah had a few reservations about this. Here was the reason why God wanted him to do this. Look at back up a little bit, verse 12. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. You know, at the end of this whole story, that there's that promise of the rainbow. The promise of the rainbow says that God will never destroy the earth with water again. And you know what? He's going to keep his promise, because at the end of the 1,000 years, it is not water that's going to destroy. It is cleansing fire. And it's not just some earthly fire. It's going to be heavenly fire. Heavenly fire burns a little bit hotter than earthly fire. So the reason why Noah was being asked to build that ark is because there was violence. The earth was filled with violence. And what was God going to use? 17, and behold, I myself going to bring flood waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. And by the way, those of you that like Hebrew and like the meanings of word, in the flood here, the word that is used is the word mabul. Have you ever heard the word mabul? Mabul has a dual meaning. Mabul means destruction, but at the same time it means recreation. And it's interesting how God could destroy, but at the same time recreate beautiful things. Have you ever been to the Grand Canyon? You know how that was made? You still believe that it was made by billions and billions of years of this little river eroding that place. God, through destruction, recreated the earth. And it's going to be the same thing at the end of time. Because he has promised to what? He's going to destroy but recreate. And when he recreates, it's going to be beautiful. So there we find Noah with this request from God. We find that at that time it had not rained. And here's God telling Noah that this was going to happen. And Lord, we've never seen it. Apart from things blowing up in space and coming down with fire, have any of you ever seen fire rain down from heaven? I haven't either. And do you believe that God is going to rain fire after the 1,000 years? How is that going to happen? Are clouds of fire going to roll in and start? Where is it going to originate? I mean, where's the fire? You know, all those questions. You know, I don't like to. I sometimes think about it, but then I just say, if God says it, it will happen. If God says it, it will happen. Listen to why it was an impossibility, what Noah was being asked. The world before the flood reasoned that for centuries the laws of nature had been fixed. The recurring seasons had come in order, here to rain and had never fallen. The earth had been watered by a mist or dew. The rivers have never yet passed their boundaries, but had borne their waters safely to the sea. Fixed decrees had kept the waters from overflowing their banks. In other words, everything was just going just fine. Nothing like that had ever happened. And here comes God, and he asks Noah to do the impossible. To do the impossible. And did it happen? It sure did. And did it happen in a mighty way? It sure did. Think about it. Let me read you something here from Patriarchs and Prophets. The 1958 edition is page 99, but the newer edition is page 86. Listen to this. As the violence of the storm increased, trees, buildings, rocks, and earth were hurled in every direction. The terror of man and beast was beyond description. Above the roar of the tempest was heard the wailing of people that had despised the authority of God. And then listen. Satan himself, who was compelled to remain in the midst of the warring elements, feared for his own existence. Did you get that? Satan was fearing that he was going to die while all that was going on. What does that tell you? What was happening? Mighty destruction taking place. You know, at the end of time, it tells us that there were going to be mighty earthquakes. How many of you like to be in earthquakes? You love earthquakes. You know what? I've been in 2 or 3 earthquakes there in L.A. And, you know, I never did get used to them. I don't like the ground shaking and seeing the chandeliers going like this. I don't like while I'm camping there in a summer camp with my ear to the ground as we're sleeping, all of a sudden hearing the rocks were being torn apart and your tent is just going crazy. I do not like that. And yet it says that at the end of time, you think 7.9 is big, you think 8.9 is bigger, you think 10. How about 50.0 in the Richter scale? You like that? You know what something like that would cause? Major destruction like you've never seen before. But you know what? those that have their faith and trust in God, we will go through that. In peace, believe it or not. Because it is the peace of Christ within us that will see us through everything. So, Noah, did he trust God? He did trust God. Even in the impossibility that he was asking. Here's another situation. You've heard of Elijah, the prophet. One day he was asked, you know, the prophets were asked a lot of things that I don't know if I would have done, but if I was as close to them as they were to the Lord, I would hear the voice and I would probably would have done the same thing, regardless if I went to the king and the king said, off with his head. Oh, that's nice, you know. But he was asked to go and share something with the king and about a drought. And then after he did that, he went and hid. You wonder why. And he went and hid, and it did not rain for 3 years. This is where the ravens were bringing him food and all that. And then where God sent him, all of a sudden, that dried up, and he had to go somewhere else. And you know what? God had provided for him. Here, go to this lady. And this is where we pick up the story, because there's a request here that Elijah makes to a lady. 1 Kings, if you have your Bibles, chapter 17. Verse 17:10. So he, that's Elijah, arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called and said, excuse me, could you please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink? I mean, that's a simple request, right? A little water. You've requested a little water before, haven't you? A little water, please. Ah, but see, it went a little bit beyond that. Here's the thing. He said, and it says, as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. Excuse me, you know, I'm really hungry. You know, have you gotten people knocking at your door? We had. I'm really hungry. Could you spare some food? Sure. Or I'm really thirsty. I've been walking all this day. Could you give me a drink of water? Sure. And as you're heading out, you say, could you make me a sandwich too? That's a good, I mean, all of us would not deny somebody that's thirsty water and somebody that's hungry food, right? Okay. That's what he asked. But here was the problem. 17:12. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, in a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat of it and then die. Now that changes the whole thing. Let's do scenario number two. Your children are inside the house. Their tummies are grumbling. I mean, they're really hungry. They're crying. And you are preparing that little sandwich for them because it's the last thing you have in your refrigerator. There is no more. There are no crackers. There are no cookies. There are no candies. There are nothing. That's all you have, though, that little sandwich. And the pastor knocks on the door and says, could I have a little water and see that sandwich you have there? And can I have that too? Now things have a different meaning, don't they? why should I give you my sandwich that my children need because that's the only thing that's left? And the woman was placed in this situation. Sometimes we cannot explain things. Why is the Lord asking me this? Doesn't the Lord know? Doesn't the Lord know that this is my last morsel, that this is the last meal that I was going to have with my child? And he sends the prophet, and the prophet is asking me for my last meal, the one I was going to have with my child. Situation number three, when we need to trust the Lord, we need to trust them in the inexplicable. We don't understand. How could the Lord ask such a thing? Prophets and Kings, page 130. The coming of Elijah on the very day when the widow feared that she must give up the struggle to sustain life tested to the utmost her faith in the power of the living God to provide for her necessities. But even in her dire extremity, she bore witness to her faith by a compliance with the request of the stranger who was asking her to share her last morsel with him. Have you ever been in situations where you cannot explain why the Lord is asking you to do certain things? If you haven't, as the time draws for the second coming of Jesus Christ, the Lord will be asking things of you and of us that we will not be able to explain why the Lord is asking. And the question that I have for you is this morning is, will you be able to know that that's the Lord's voice talking to you? Because we read in the Bible that the Lord asked some crazy things for people to do. Some strange things. But the people that were close to God and knew that that was God's voice, they could hear. And they might not be able to explain, but they listened. They trusted God, and they followed what he asked. Prophets and Kings, page 131, the widow of Zarephath shared her morsel with Elijah, and in return, her life and that of her son were preserved. Trust God. Do you believe God loves you? Then if you believe that God loves you, he will not let anything bad happen to you. And if he does, trust him anyways. Because there is a reason why God allows for things to happen to us. We might not understand them. We might not be able to explain them. But trust God. Trust God. The work of a traffic controller. It's very, very stressful. They say that it's sort of like playing chess in 3D. However, the pieces that they're playing with, they're potentially explosive pieces. And they also say if you're cool, if you're thinking right, if you're rested, if you're following everything, nothing could go wrong. They have the rule book there. They have all the situations that they could think of. They have computers that plan every move that the planes make, and whenever they move a plane, they just give all the scenario of what might happen with making that move. The computers predict consequences. I mean, it's all set there, and nothing should go wrong. But sometimes it does. November 26, 1975. A fellow worker had just taken over there at Cleveland, Ohio, for another one. They had the shift change. And he had been sitting down on that chair looking at the radar for 55 seconds, only 55 seconds. And all of a sudden, he realized that he was watching a disaster about to happen. An American airline, DC-10, was flying east with 194 passengers. Flight number 182. Flying east. It was climbing to 37,000 feet. All right? People inside, nothing to worry. They were just happy as could be. They were going east. The other side, a TWA, jumbo jet, flying west, 114 passengers, flying at the altitude of 35,000 feet. Okay? And he realized that they were going to collide, these two planes, somewhere around Detroit, if they kept going how they were going. And this is what took place. He said, AA 182, Cleveland, what's your altitude? And the reply was, well, we're passing through 34-7 at this time. We could see above us, but we're still in the area of clouds. And then the controller said, descend immediately to 33,000 feet. In the cockpit there at the with the DC-10, Captain Guy Ebbe. He was the captain that day, and as soon as he heard that, his instincts were, he got that control column, and he just pushed it forward. In the plane, that DC-10, they were serving their drinks. And there were people walking around on belt, you know, without the seat belt. And all of a sudden, what happens when they take the ground out of your feet? Trolleys were up in the air. Drinks were all over the place. People were flying all over. And, man, it was total chaos and disaster inside that plane. That plane, it said it pitched with this stomach churning heave. You know, when you get to the top of the roller coaster and then you just, your stomach ends up here. That's what happened to all the people. It said that for a brief moment, Captain Guy Ebbe saw the bottom of that jumbo jet fill his screen. He saw that the bottom of that jumbo jet, could you imagine the combined speed of 1,000 miles per hour? When they landed, they went and got the, they do all the investigations and they get the black box and they start analyzing all that. They realized that the DC-10 had been about 47 feet from the jumbo's altitude. You know, as I read this incident, I thought of how God is in control. And he has the radar, he has the big picture. And sometimes when he asks us to dive, we question him. We question the Lord. Why? But I like it. But there's nothing wrong. Why are you asking? Could you imagine if Captain Ebby would have said the same thing to the controller? I'm sorry, but you know everything's clear. I don't see anything. I mean, I'm here. That amount of time that I just spent telling you the few things that the captain might have argued with the controller, it would have been too late. 47 feet at 500 miles an hour. How long does that take? But you know, the pilots have this thing built, ingrained in them. What the air traffic controller says, you do. It does not matter what your instrument says, what you think it is. What the air traffic controller says, you do. God is our air traffic controller. And we need to trust him completely. Total trust. In what? Well, let's review. We need to trust God in what? In the unknown. There might be things that you don't know what's going to happen with the world, the economy, all kinds of questions that you might have. But this morning, I ask you, I urge you, it is imperative that as the time comes closer and closer for Jesus Christ to return, we need to trust him in the unknown. We need to trust him in where? Impossible. Lord, that's impossible for me to do. I can't. It might be. And he might ask you things that do not make sense. You can't. It's just an impossibility. But you need to trust God. We need to trust God in what? You can't explain it. It does not make sense. It's all right. If you trust God, he will see you through. He has the big radar. He has the whole picture. He knows what's going to happen. And you know what? We need to follow his instructions. What kind of faith am I talking about this morning? I'll tell you what kind of faith I'm talking about this morning. It is the faith that led Abraham to walk his son 3 days down to the base of the mountain, up the mountain, tie him, put the wood, and be ready to sacrifice his own son. Why? Because God asked him to. That is the type of faith that I'm talking about this morning. It is the type of faith that Joshua there, and you know, that when he made that famous speech, and he realized there were some people that were not going to follow him, what he was thinking of doing. But this is what he said. And if it seems evil to you, Joshua 24:15, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. And then he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that is what you need to say. You need to have the faith that regardless of what the world is saying, and regardless of what your brothers might be saying, you need to make the decision that you will serve the Lord. It is the type of faith that Daniel's friends had when King Nebuchadnezzar said, we're going to throw you in that fiery furnace if you don't do this. And the friends, very politely, by the way, Christians should be polite under the most severe circumstances. You agree? I agree. Is it hard? Yes, it is. But we need to be Christ-like in every situation that we find ourselves in. And these three friends, they found themselves talking to the greatest ruler of the land. And he said, we're going to throw you in the fiery furnace. And they said, King, they said, they were very polite. They said, you know, it's a very nice offer and everything. But you know what? We trust the Lord. And we know that he will save us. But even if he doesn't, very important, even if he doesn't, we will still serve the Lord. It is the type of faith that Job had when he got all the boils and everything that had happened to him. I mean, that was terrible. But you know, he looked up and said, you know, naked I came into this world and naked I will leave. Pray that may the name of the Lord always be praised. That is the type of faith that I'm talking about. That is the type of faith that you and I need to have in these last days. Because there are going to be a lot of things that are going to be taking place. There are going to be a lot of doctrines that are going to be coming around. There are going to be a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. And in the midst of all that, you and I should stand strong, move forward, and trust God in everything that might happen. We're going to sing a song, a hymn, number 590. It simply says, trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord, it says, we should trust and obey. Should we stand together to sing?
Trust and obey.
That is so true. Do you want to be happy in Jesus? Trust and obey. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you this morning for giving us an opportunity to worship together. Father, I just ask that in our hearts, you may put the faith and the trust that we will need in the times that are coming. They're going to be hard times. But I know with you in our hearts and us trusting and obeying, we will be happy because we will be waiting for Jesus Christ. And no matter what happens around us, you will see us through. Thank you. Be with us now during the rest of the Sabbath day. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.